that he is the absolute cause. So this was the first element of dua. And in the next programs, we will inshallah talk about the other elements of dua or supplication. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to guide us all by the light of faith and enliven our hearts. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Time. Good night to all our dear listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio Broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm hosting you for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. We'll start this hour's lineup with Youth Station. The program is all about young people and addresses topics which are all related to young people. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And after that, it's time for Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Stay with us for the next hour.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth
Station.
This is Asma, and I'm so happy to be here.
And this is Masuma.
I hope wherever you are, you're doing well, and everything is just fine with you. How about you, Masuma? Are you okay?
Yes, thank God.
Well, now there comes this subject, which is, I guess, very, very interesting, very challenging, sometimes very paradoxical, and sometimes we have got some illusions about it. Sometimes I ask myself, what kind of a picture do you have of a perfect marriage? Because when I come to count the number of perfect marriages around me, I have this difficulty of finding the real perfect marriages.
We don't have perfect marriage, honey.
Yeah, that's
excuse me here.
That's the thing. That's the point I wanted to make at the end of today's episode, but we made it actually. We're starting backwards.
Yeah. Well, that was because that was too much for me to digest.
Yeah, so this was the conclusion of today's episode, but we made it in the very beginning. We're deconstructing the whole process of episodes in Youth Station.
As you said, that you notice around yourself, I have also noticed people around myself. So I have a very nice friend of mine, which I thought her family and her parents had perfect marriage, okay? But now it has been 5 years since I'm her friend. So obviously we've gotten closer, you know, more friend. I see them more often and all. So now I can see their flaws too. Now I know their past too.
So the first misconception.
Yes.
Perfect marriage does not exist.
Yeah, it does not exist. So that was just something delusional that some people
if
think.
If you still are one of those people who believe in such a notion, I am happy to confess that you very quickly are going to face the truth.
So we can choose what kind of marriage we want. We can choose what kind of problems
I can
deal with.
You can choose what kind of person you wish to end up having all these problems with.
That is a right Allah has given me. People know that.
At least pick the one you wish to have this imperfect stuff with.
Yes. My chosen imperfect man.
Yeah. Putting all these things aside, marriage has got a lot of prerequisites. Like you have to get into too much of requirements. And to only have this imaginary, this castle in the air about marriage, like I'm gonna marry someone who's too perfect of a human being and our life is gonna be like these fairy tales that
ultimate dream
ended happily ever after. All of these stuffs are just illusions, unfortunately.
Indeed.
And I guess it's better that they are illusions, because we usually think that what's the use of life if it was all about heaven?
We wouldn't, you know, value it.
And we wouldn't grow.
Yes, we wouldn't develop, we wouldn't grow. That is also a thing.
The process of growing happens. I'm not saying that we love misery, we love hardship, and we love all the imperfect beings. Bring an imperfect being for me.
That's
what I'm striving for. No, it's actually the idea that when we say perfect marriage does not exist, that doesn't mean that all the marriages are too bad and they are hell, do not get into it. No.
We don't mean that.
We don't mean that. We mean that do not expect something that you are not from other people.
Definitely.
If I sometimes might get into the trap of, for example, misbehaving, then I have to accept that from others.
You know what? We have this concept. It's a new thing, at least for me in social media, that we have red flags and green flags. They yeah. say, for example, oh, that person is red flag, that person is green flag. So I used to think that, oh, if a man, you know, would get angry at me, he's a red flag. But then I noticed I myself get angry sometimes as well. So am I a red flag? Then I think that, okay. So at that point, I realized my own flaws. And then I was like, yes, he has to deal with some of my flaws. So obviously, I have to, you know, accept some of his flaws.
So it's all about compromise.
Yes, it's all about compromise.
It's
and it's
all about compromise.
How much you willingly want to compromise.
Exactly.
And you should, you know, enter the marriage aware with awareness that I know this and I want to compromise with this,
and
this factor.
Let's crack it right here.
Mm-hmm.
What about your friends? You see a lot of objections you might have to your siblings, but still you can die for them.
Yes, true. I can give my heart and kidneys and everything for them.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if they want my eyes, I can offer it to them. But does that mean we are not going to have fights every day?
No, we are going to still fight.
Yeah, we're going to fight and we might get into very bad corners. But then it's love. It's the mutual love that we have for each other. And I don't think it's a matter of blood as much as it is the matter of spending time with each other and remembering the goodness that I have beside all the badnesses that I have as well. Because we're human beings. And if we do not compromise with people that we love, then I guess life is going to be turning into this very sad and depressing place.
And, you know, there's misunderstandings that movies, this entertainment industry has done
romantic
to us.
Comedies.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Although he's imperfect, we can totally ignore everything that is, of course, totally not true. And how, you know, sometimes we see around ourselves how culture
gives us. Oh, you mentioned something very good. Let me clarify the ground. So just as we were talking about compromise, that didn't mean that you have to forget about all the bad things.
Yes.
No, some badnesses are just red flags.
Yeah.
You cannot continue with them.
Very
like,
red
for
lines.
Example, someone really used to lying.
Mm-hmm.
This
oh, no.
is very sad.
Okay, yeah, that's a red flag.
Very much of a red
very
flag.
Very one.
Like, the border lines are, like, these clear-cut sort of statements.
Yes.
We cannot cross those borders. We're talking about human kind of badness. Like, the thing that might rise up once in a blue moon or, I don't know, maybe every day. But it's a very slight sort of badness that you can forget about it.
Simplify everything with the concept of friendship, because most of the people have friends, you know.
Yeah.
And
you can
so
do it with siblings as well.
Yeah, no, I'm good with friends because that is more interesting to some people and myself too. So this friend of mine that I'm talking about, she cannot express her emotions through words. I would literally text her, girl, I miss you, and
yeah.
she would leave me on scene.
Yeah.
A girl, just leave a heart. No, she wouldn't. So at first it used to annoy me, but now that I know that, now I'm sure that she feels the same towards
yeah.
me, and I know that she cannot express her emotions through words, I have accepted. So this one is not a red line for me.
Yeah.
But if one day she starts talking bad about me behind me, then yes, that is a red line.
You see, now talking behind or back, that's a different story, and don't open that door. Because even with siblings, when it happens, it's like a real fight.
Yes.
A real fight. So, speaking of friends, I have some problems with one of my friends, that is one of my close friends. And the problem is that she's too flexible. She's
oh.
too flexible with everything. And she's so prone into all the new things. Like, everything seems like an adventure to her.
Okay.
And she can accept that full-heartedly. So this was one of our problems, but by time, as we start talking about it,
mm-hmm.
now she's more aware
yes.
of her personality.
Yes, we brought changes.
Yeah, at least we can, you know, add some touch of change into each other. Even that could apply to siblings. That could actually be applied to siblings, to friends, to whomever. By the way, we're talking about marriages, and the thing about marriages is that the same thing that happens in the friendship and the same thing that we would see among your siblings and your loved ones, the same thing would be applied to your love life. Like, do not expect a perfection in that house while you are already compromising with other imperfections in other places or elsewhere. So you have to be very aware of the fact and realize it, that us human beings have got good points. We have pros and cons.
Yes, so we choose what to compromise with and what we should not compromise. It is very important.
And the thing about marriage, I do believe, is that friendship that must exist between the couples. I do believe that, you know, in life, in modern life, there's poverty. There might be a phase of poverty, not in an extreme form, but, you know, everybody
to some level.
Exactly. Financial issues, let's put it this way. Because when you say poverty, it means like so penniless. But if financial issues is going to make it prettier, then all the couples, probably all of them, are going to get into that phase of suffering financially. The thing that makes you stay there is not the money, actually, is the friendship. Like, you accept it to be with each other in the hardships and at the time of ease. So you have to practice it. And, you know, sometimes these situations, these conditions that life is going to offer you with and is going to actually offer that plate of hardship for you, be it financial issue, be it some sort of disease or perhaps some other very drastic changes that might happen to the life of couples, the thing that you can continue with, the thing that is going to be a sign of endurance and is going to help you go on, the one and only thing is that love that exists in between you. The love that you have for each other, which is going to actually cover the fact that we have all these difficulties. Even though he's angry right now, I can understand that this situation is adding this much of burden to him. So I'm going to be kinder to him at times.
Yes.
When I'm angry, he has to do the same thing for me. And I have seen this in him. That's why I'm respecting him. You know, this is the life of couples.
And you know how traditions and society make us think about of marriage? It's that a perfect marriage is when, you know, the man is earning very, very well and the woman cooks very well. Of course, not everywhere, but I have seen this. Yes, these cliches, how they distort how we think.
I think we're past that cliche of women cooking so well. Nowadays, men are good, cooks as well.
Yes, but I'm sure many have not. And I'm very sure that we still might have some wrong beliefs that society has forced us to think.
Yeah.
And yet we think that this is our thought. I hope we will know it, that this is not the truth. And we need to, you know, take the right path which God has given us. And it's very nice that our Islamic teachings do not tell us that he has to be very rich or she has to be very pretty.
The first thing that is prioritized, first of all, is his religiosity and his spirituality. Because if he's scared of God, then he would never do you any harm. Because it is the matter of humanity.
Yes. I was just going to mention that you stole my words. So the first thing that we need to, you know, take into consideration is that, is he a God-fearer?
Yeah. First thing first. Second, manners. This matters too much because I've seen many people, many couples who do not have anything materialistic in their life, but the only thing that is clinging them to each other is the respect they have towards each other, is the, you know, there are these vivacious people that even in the hardships, they would offer you their smiles and they would offer you all the supports you need with the words. All these things are going to compensate and are going to just fill the gap that you're suffering from in your everyday life, be it a married life or a single life.
I would like to mention a verse from Holy Quran, you know, second surah, ayat number 187. It says that they are clothing for you and you are clothing for them. So this is symbolizing that they should be protection, comfort, and dignity for each other. So this is that it shows the main goal of marriage is the peace that they provide for each
other. And the friendship, you know, they inhabit each other's heart. So you become the house of each other. And yes. This combination is going to create that bond, which actually makes you forget all the difficulties that life might offer you. So this was all for today's episode. By the way, if I want to sum it all up, I would put it this way, that a perfect marriage does not exist in the materialistic format, but in the spiritual way, as in your one and only, is going to help you flourish more of yourself, is going to develop in a better version of yourself, and is going to be always there for you. Yes, it exists, but you have to work for it very hard. And it does not come with just one day or miracle. You have to know each other, and time has to be passed by. So this was all for today. I hope you have enjoyed it. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all worlds. O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad and hasten their reappearance. Greetings and salutations to the great nation of Iran, which has always safeguarded the integrity and independence of the country through their presence in various arenas. Peace and blessings of God be upon the martyr commanders of the IRGC, upon the unknown martyrs, and upon the martyrs of the intelligence community and the Ministry of Intelligence. Greetings and divine blessings to the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, who has successfully led the resistance against the camp of infidelity, oppression, and the dominance of the American Zionist agenda. The main enemy of this land, this nation, and this faith is not only the criminal gang ruling over occupied Palestine, but also a Zionist American movement that, in addition to us, is an enemy of many countries and nations, an enemy of truth, justice, and humanity. This time, the Western Dominance Club, in a fatal miscalculation, unleashed its rabid dog to attack our proud and powerful Iran. Thanks to the unity of the people, the strong and resolute defense by the armed forces of the Islamic Republic, the heroic sacrifices of the defenders of the homeland, the wise and courageous leadership of the Commander-in-Chief of Armed Forces, and the active presence of the esteemed President and the 14th Administration, the world witnessed the defeat and humiliation of the illegitimate offspring of Western dominance, and they rejoiced. Today, I intend to discuss another aspect of the American Zionist regime's disgrace, its intelligence failure. In a statement dated June 9th, the Ministry of Intelligence announced the acquisition of a treasure trove of information from the hidden vaults of the Zionist regime and its transfer to Iran. The reality is that the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman infiltrated deep into the hidden chambers of the Zionist regime through one of the most complex, multi-layered intelligence operations and accessed its secret information in various fields, including nuclear, military, intelligence, and scientific domains. Today, I will only touch upon a portion of this information.
The story begins here, a film that reveals how millions of documents containing military and nuclear information, along with data from significant research projects and sensitive centers of the occupying regime, were smuggled out of the occupied territories, from the most secure nuclear sites and heavily guarded military facilities to designated safe locations, and then out of the occupied lands heading towards Tehran. Over the years, Iran's intelligence agency has recruited a network of operatives working deep within the military and security layers of the regime. Key figures within the regime are collaborating with the Islamic Republic of Iran, as they too have recognized Netanyahu's incompetence in safeguarding their own regime. This is part of the efforts of the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman in the Ministry of Intelligence, engaged in a round-the-clock battle for security and peace in Iran, and now even for the security and peace of the region and the world. The news of the mass exodus of highly classified documents that exposed the entire military and security networks surrounding the Zionists' nuclear weapons program detonated like a bomb in the corridors of power in Israeli regime. They were acutely aware of the blow they had received. Updated information that made visible the layered networks of individuals and projects involved in the construction and development of nuclear bombs within the Israeli regime. It also included all personal and professional details of those individuals and their connections with other countries. Includes extensive documents detailing the support from the U.S. regime and some European nations for the Zionist nuclear weapons program, as well as confidential agreements between the regime and several other countries regarding nuclear bomb development. Additionally, the regime's lobbying efforts to prevent other nations from accessing even peaceful energy sources, along with leaked correspondence from Iran to certain international organizations, to the regime's security agencies, and finally, the extensive collaboration between American technology companies and government entities with the Israeli regime for the construction and development of nuclear bombs and related knowledge. The subsequent operation, which was exceedingly complex and even larger in scale, involved data processing and transforming it into a network of interconnected and intertwined data, which, through the tireless efforts of analysts and experts from the Ministry of Intelligence, has now become a tangled web, a spider's web that is a vision of the terrifying threat of the occupying regime of Al-Quds against humanity. Due to the sensitive nature of this data, only a portion of it is disclosed. This extensive data network not only reveals the historical context of the regime's nuclear weapons program and all the individuals and entities involved, but is also highly effective for studying future developments. It is a live data network that allows for the prediction of subsequent changes, even if the personnel shifts. This operation was successfully carried out while the main operational and support agents completed their tasks safely and without interference from enemy services. Even if a few of the individuals involved in the operation have been identified, these individuals and cells remain unaware of each other, and the regime security apparatus has yet to find a way to uncover other cells. At this moment, the regime's military and security structure, under the incompetent management of Netanyahu, has turned into a body infected with a virus that should brace for a worsening situation.
The professional and intelligent execution of the infiltration project, which involved obtaining classified documents from the Zionist regime, successfully transferring these documents to pre-established bases, was merely one aspect of a powerful combination of operational intelligence actions. Although the treasure transferred into the country consists of millions of pages of various and diverse information regarding the Zionist regime, including past and ongoing military projects of the criminal regime ruling over the occupied territories, projects for the refurbishment and recovery of old nuclear weapons, joint projects with the United States and some European countries, the entire administrative structure and personnel involved in nuclear weapons, as well as researchers, scholars, and senior managers of these inhumane projects, the names of researchers and so-called scientists from America and Europe involved in the mentioned projects and the addresses of facilities, companies, and all collaborators of these projects. The next very important and complex mission for the unknown soldiers of Imam-e-Zaman is to process the information and uncover the relationships between various human and organizational elements and networks related to the regime's nuclear projects, both inside and outside the occupied territories. Discovering the relationship between elements and networks is as crucial as the infiltration project and the transfer of information into the country.
A vast amount of data has been transferred from the occupied territories to Tehran, now forming a complex web of processed information, a galaxy of names, addresses, internal and external relations, documents, projects, and even photographs are interconnected. This intricate network is the result of months of work by analysts at the Ministry of Intelligence, clearly indicating that the regime's nuclear program is intertwined with its armament initiatives. Just a small unit from a tiny cluster can provide a glimpse into the dimensions of the operations of the Islamic Republic's Ministry of Intelligence within the occupied territories. Oleg Riven works at the Negev nuclear facility, one of the seven main bases of the regime's nuclear armament program. Oleg Riven is a neutron specialist, a mineral chemistry scientist, and has expertise in working with microscopic laser materials. This image depicts the neutron program in which Oleg Riven specialized. He is involved in a joint project, a collaboration between the Negev nuclear base in the occupied territory and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in the United States. The name of the Los Alamos Laboratory is linked to the history of atomic bomb production. The first nuclear bombs of the United States, which led to the massacre of the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, were produced at Los Alamos. The collaboration program between Oleg Riven and Los Alamos is conducted under the auspices of a company called Rotem Industries. Rotem can be likened to Los Alamos in the occupied territories, focusing on the production of specialized military components and radiation detection. This shipping document indicates that Rotem has sent a shipment to the Los Alamos Atomic Laboratory in the United States. The shipment contains samples of chemical materials related to the nuclear weapons program of the occupying regime. The partnership between Los Alamos and the occupying regime includes a contract for the production and testing of bombs on a laboratory scale. These tests were initially conducted in African countries with the cooperation of the United States, but after this information was revealed by Russian and Chinese satellites, the tests were moved to the United States to be concealed under the guise of U.S. nuclear tests. These names represent the specifications and faces of the Zionist delegation that was established in Los Alamos in 2018 to advance these joint projects. One of Oleg Riven's professors, Ilad Caspi, is directly in contact with Los Alamos, and Rotem Industries is effectively under his supervision. Ilad Caspi's role in the field of nuclear weapons is quite significant. His work focuses on measuring the quantity and arrangement of materials in the warheads of modern atomic bombs to achieve maximum explosive yield. In another part of this data galaxy, we encounter Ayel Yaho, a senior manager at the Negev Nuclear Research Center, who works on neutron shaping and the analysis of atomic and semiconductor radiation. He is also a key figure in the connection between the production of nuclear weapons in the United States and the Israeli regime. The American National Energy Laboratory in Livermore, California, and the Los Alamos National Laboratory are centers collaborating with Yahoo. However, Yonathan Albez, born in March 1977, is the head of the Advanced Research Division of the regime's Atomic Energy Organization, focusing on nuclear radiation analysis and the control and optimization of nuclear weapon quality. Both Yahil and Albez are connected to Elazar Sarid, whose expertise lies in modern atomic bombs. One of his key specialties is increasing the plasma density of atomic bombs during nuclear fusion reactions and developing the infrastructure for testing nuclear weapon quality. Ron Ashkenazi, born in 1974, is another collaborator of the regime involved in the production of weapons of mass destruction. This senior member of the regime's Atomic Energy Organization works with foundations like Wiseman. The Wiseman Foundation was one of the organizations involved in the production of weapons of mass destruction that was destroyed during missile attacks by the Islamic Republic of Iran. However, no one knew what Wiseman's primary role in weapon production was. Names and faces such as Oleg Riven, Elad Kaspi, Ayo Yahoo, Yonatan Albez, Elazar Sarid, and Ron Ashkenazi are just a part of the Zionist scientists active in the regime's nuclear weapons program, which is now in the hands of the Iranian Ministry of Intelligence for future measures.
As I mentioned at the beginning of this program, at this current stage, we have only revealed a small portion of the millions of pages of information obtained from the Zionist regime. First point, this small portion has turned the pages of the history of the regime's secrecy and its supporters, putting an end to the regime's policy of nuclear ambiguity. Second point, our findings include the full names, addresses, and professional relationships of 189 nuclear and military specialists associated with the regime, along with the projects each of them is working on. And this list is still being updated. Third point, within the acquired treasure trove, there is precise information regarding sensitive military and scientific locations with dual-use applications which were targeted during the 12-day war after their coordinates were handed over to the country's missile units. Fourth point, this small amount of disclosed information reveals the collaboration between the U.S. regime and some European countries with the criminal Zionist regime. Additionally, it uncovers documents regarding the influence of regime officials and American senators over the agency and their acquisition of information related to our country's peaceful nuclear program.
Although the U.S. regime is by far the largest supporter of the Zionist atomic bomb, its atomic commission also has various programs with Europeans. The regime and the European Union have established a joint commission for nuclear cooperation and are advancing thermal hydraulic reactor projects. France is the regime's largest partner in the European Union regarding atomic bomb production. There are documents detailing 160 joint projects between France and the regime, with four of these projects being particularly significant. Most notably, the SARAF project focuses on the production of accelerators and enrichment facilities at the Sarek Center. This information comes from the discoveries of the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman, including the network graph of missile information, propulsion, and drone technology of the occupying regime, which involves weapons for transferring atomic bombs. Unfortunately, some international organizations are also under the influence of the occupying regime. Some individuals involved in the regime's atomic weapons and weapons of mass destruction are collaborators with those organizations. One example is Yaniv Shapishnik. Born in October 1981, he is the head of the research department at the Negev Nuclear Research Center, which collaborates with an international organization in the field of reactors. However, he is actually an expert in numerical modeling of atomic bomb explosions, aiming to minimize the amount of uranium and plutonium required in the bomb explosion cycle. The presence of these forces, which serve the destruction of humanity, reflects the dire situation of those organizations as their collaborators. This entity takes a hostile stance against Iran's peaceful nuclear activities while welcoming the creators of weapons of mass destruction among the Zionists as partners. Despite the agency's services to the regime, documents found revealed that the regime even spies on the head of the agency. Family and personal photos of the agency's head, which were among the documents leaked from the occupied territories, indicated that this regime was gathering information on the agency's head. The occupying regime knows no bounds and remains loyal to no one.
تعداد قابل توجهی از کارکنان
A significant number of employees from nuclear agencies, military institutions, and ordinary citizens of the Israeli regime collaborated with the Minister of Intelligence to obtain a wealth of documents and transfer them from the regime's intricate layers of protection to our beloved Iran. Two main motivations drove this collaboration. One was financial gain, meaning the receipt of money, and the other was a deep-seated hatred for the so-called corrupt criminal prime minister of the Zionist regime and a desire for revenge against him. Now I tell this vile killer that instead of thinking about solving Iran's water issues, he should focus on addressing the bread problems of many of his employees who have collaborated with us for monetary reasons and continue to do so right now. Additionally, I want to reveal the secret behind the Israeli regime's efforts to instill influence among the Iranian people and officials. The secret lies in the historic defeat of the 12-day war and the deep infiltration of the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman into the innermost protected layers of the regime. The myth of infiltration was created, and unfortunately, some individuals within the country promoted it. We have never denied the enemy's intelligence infiltration in certain weak individuals within our ranks. Among these traitors, one has been identified, tried, and executed, and it is important to express gratitude to the judiciary for their efforts. Currently, we're also working on other espionage cases, but the desperate attempts of the Zionist regime to conceal the significant infiltration of the Minister of Intelligence in their strongholds, hideouts, and secured vaults continue. They are also engaged in deceptive operations, particularly in covering up the technological methods used to gather information from our country. God willing, in the future, as we continue to reveal the treasures of the acquired intelligence documents, we will address these issues. In the end, I humbly thank God with my limited words and bow respectfully before the Iranian nation, asking everyone to pray for and support the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman. Peace be upon you and God's mercy and blessings.
Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To heaven and show us The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then begin this sermon the way the Commander of the Faithful used to begin many of his, by advising us, Usikum ibadallah bittaqwallah, that I advise you, the servants of God, to be God-conscious, God-fearing, and pious human beings. We have been discussing the journey towards reformation, towards becoming better human beings, and in particular, we've reached that station where we are now discussing the importance of silence and the importance of speech. And in last week's discussion, we said that what's important is that we find a balance between silence and speech. And it's this balance that we have to struggle for. And some of the tips that we have been given by our ulama is that, for example, we think before we speak. Subhanallah, we've been told this since we are children, you know, that we think before we speak. We ask ourselves, will this be of any benefit? We ask ourselves, will this offend anyone? And these questions in themselves could answer for us whether it's better that I talk or better that I remain silent. But the major aspect that we have to learn is to practice adalat within our own lives, balance. And this i'tidal or balance in our lives pertains to our desires, our anger, our intellect. If we can have control over these things, then we have a balance in our lives. And when an individual has reached a station where they are on that journey towards balance, I think to find that permanent balance is very difficult, right? Because things can happen, we can get thrown out of our normal thinking path or whatever it is, and we may do things that are out of ordinary. But when we are on that journey towards balance, then we are told at this particular point that speech is better than silence. And there's a very beautiful hadith that we mentioned last week, but I really like this one, from our fourth Imam As-Sajjad, alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, where he says, innaka latasifu fadla sukut bil kalam. He says that speech is better than silence because you describe the greatness of silence through speech, but you don't describe the greatness of speech through silence. Very beautiful, yeah, very profound that the Imam alayhi salam says. And so we say that, okay, speech is better if I have balance in my lives. But again, we must stress what the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam teach us, and that is that this is not referring to every type of speech, but this is good speech. Speech that is useful, speech that is beneficial. And again, we have to ask ourselves this question, that do I have to say everything that comes into my mind? Do I have to say everything that my desires tell me to do? And once we learn that balance, we will be able to be on this journey. If good speech is better, and we say that good speech is better if we have control, then we have to understand the importance of the tongue, for that is where speech finds its release from, and how to control it. You know, when we look at the tongue of an individual, it reveals a lot about a person. It reveals something about their physical nature as well as their spiritual nature. You know, the physical nature is quite interesting if you just Google this, right? That before the advent of modern technology, you know, doctors would look at the tongue to figure out what was wrong with the person. And certain doctors believe that many parts of the body are a microcosm of the whole. In other words, if you look at certain parts of an individual's body, it will tell you what's happening in the whole body. And he says the tongue is one of those organs, where if you look at it, you'll be able to tell if there are any physical ailments. And so again, like for example, like I'm just going to mention a few because I don't want you then staring at the mirror trying to self-diagnose yourselves, you know. use Google for that instead, you know. So, for example, if your tongue is red, it indicates heat, and this could mean inflammation or dehydration. Pale tongue indicates a lack of blood flow. A purple tongue, lack of energy. So these things tell us something about the tongue, and this is the power or the beauty of this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more importantly, for our discussion about the journey towards God, the same way that the tongue describes medical and external illnesses, it describes perfectly the spiritual state of an individual. Yeah? Whatever is in the heart of a person, whatever is in the soul of a person, will eventually manifest itself out in the tongue. You just give it time. Yeah? If someone doesn't like you, they will make that known. If someone has a problem with something, they will make it known, because it's only so long that you can bite your tongue. Yeah? And so when you want to know a person, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, he says, takallamu tu'rafu. He says, speak and you will be known. Yeah? Speak and you will be known. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ مَخْبُوءٌ تَحْتَ لِسَانِهِ. Because an individual, a person, is hidden behind their tongue. Yeah? Whatever is in our souls, it will manifest itself. And this is why silence and speech is such an important journey towards self-purification. That if I have ailments within my heart that I'm trying to rectify, if I don't control my tongue, I will never be able to rectify that, because I will continue making mistakes. And so until I have mastered, or on that journey towards mastering my heart and my soul, I practice silence so that my inner nature is not revealed to others. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the tongue as one of the greatest gifts that He's bestowed upon us. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Balad, He says very beautiful, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُنْ نَجْدَيْنِ. He says, have we not given them two eyes and a tongue and two lips, and have shown him the two ways to success and the path of failure? Amazing that out of all the things that God talks about in the Quran, He talks about the eyes, He talks about the tongue, He talks about the lips of an individual. And then He immediately says that the journey of success or failure is dependent on how we utilize these gifts. How we utilize the eyes, how we utilize the tongue, how we utilize our lips will determine the path that we take towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's interesting, right? Like, the eyes make sense because we see things. The tongue makes sense because we speak. But what about the lips, right? Out of all the things that God talks about, He talks about our lips. And again, when you look at the lips play an important function, right? Especially when it comes to the ability to articulate. You know, there are certain letters that one cannot articulate, like B, M, or Ba, or Ma. You can't articulate them. You can try them without your behind your mask. I won't be able to tell, yeah? You keep your mouth open, you try to say Ba, Ma. You can't say these words because you need your lips for articulation. Likewise, you know, the lips serve a function when it comes to eating and drinking. But most importantly, right, the lips serve an important function because they serve as a gate for the tongue. Yeah? That if you want to control the tongue, keep your mouth closed. Yeah? Keep your mouth closed. We don't have to say everything that comes to our minds. We don't have to say everything that our heart tells us to say, even though we may think it will add benefit. But learn to practice silence more often. And this is, I think, a very important discussion, like as we mentioned last week, with Shahru Ramadan coming, as our stomachs are empty, keep our tongues empty as often as we can as well, and it will save us on a lot of difficulties that we'll have to amend later. Next week, inshallah, we continue on this discussion if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hadi.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. You are listening to some interesting facts about Islam. Muslims believe they are members of a worldwide Muslim community known as the Ummah, united by a religious bond that transcends tribal, ethnic, and national identities. The first mosque built in the U.S. was the Mother Mosque of America, which was built in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in 1934. It is still used for worship today. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's program with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles contained in the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Our varied radio productions feature will follow, and after that we have Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. And to round up this hour's programs, we have Dicky. The program presents short answers to doubts and ambiguities raised about various Islamic and Shiite topics. Stay with us for the next hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.